Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
I believe by faith that you will think through my mind and speak through my lips. And when it's all said and done, we'll give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. Thank you for hastening your word to perform it. You said in your word that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you please. It will prosper where it has been sent. So I say by faith right now that it is prospering us right now in the name of Jesus. I say like the psalmist David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, that I may not doubt you or second guess you. So by faith, before we see anything, before we hear anything or receive any better news, by faith, we give you the praise. Can we do that right now? We give you the praise right now for the confirmation of your word in Jesus' name. And every heart say amen.
Amen.
All right. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. I want to talk to you from this thought, and we'll be looking at it. Living a lifestyle of faith. Living a lifestyle of faith. Living a lifestyle of faith. A lot of Christians think they understand what faith is. So some think that if they read their Bibles a few times or they understand the message of salvation or how to get saved, or even if they believe that God can heal them, they feel like or think that they are living by faith. Others have come to the place where they've made a decision that God loves them, and so they believe. Since they believe that God loves them, then that must signify that they are in faith. But what all of these groups of people fail to understand is that faith is more than that. Just accepting a fact or accepting something as fact, for example, like God's ability to heal, is not faith. All you're actually doing, and I pointed this out to the group, a couple of weeks ago when we met at the restaurant, all you're doing when you accept something like that as fact, you're just mentally, what we call mentally assenting, A-S-S-E-N-T, mentally assenting that the Word of God is true. You mentally agree that the Word of God is true. That's not faith. Faith, put this down in your notes, is a definite purposeful act of the heart. Faith is a definite, purposeful act of the heart. When we're talking about the heart, we're talking about your spirit. Your spirit, man. It is a purposeful, it is a definite, purposeful act of the heart. It is not mental exercise, so God is not asking for your calculations. It is not mental exercise. It is not an emotional expression. Faith is a, what did you write? Definite, purposeful act of the heart. So I have come to this place to call it, watch this, spiritual execution. Spiritual execution. Now God created the universe by his faith. And a lot of people don't even know that. He used faith to create the universe. I remember when I first came to Buffalo and I was at my uncle's church and I was teaching like this. So some people came to me after the service and said, why do you say God have faith? I said, God is a faith God. They only saw faith as believing in someone or something. So they say, but why would God need to believe in something? He's God. I say, you don't understand faith. Because I said, if God didn't have faith, you wouldn't have it. They said, huh? I said, think with me. Now, you all know this. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is filled with faith. God's word, what he speaks, is filled with faith. If it's filled with faith, then it's coming from a heart of faith. Because God is a faith God. So he created the universe by his faith. And we're going to see this later, if not today, from Hebrews 11. Everything God does is with and through his faith. Let me say that again. Everything God does is with and through his faith. We, as children of God, are destined to live by faith because we are created in the very image of the God of faith. So look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. You got it?
Yep.
You see it?
Yep.
I'm reading from the King James. Look what it says. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Everyone say, I am to follow God.
I am to follow God.
Listen to this. Listen to it from the New Living Translation. Same verse. Watch this. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear church, you are his dear children. Imitate God. Now, let's stop right now and let's go to your house, because I told you we're gonna with intentionality come after this spirit of satisfaction, this spirit of convenient thinking. And man, we're gonna eradicate this thing because we want to get to the nitty-gritty of why you're not pushing more, why you're not reaching more, why are you still at this place where you're waiting on God to do something instead of you becoming violent to go get it? Why have you allowed that religious spirit which you picked up growing up, those of us who've been exposed to church, we picked it up. And if you've gone to any church for any length of time, that religious spirit got on you. Why haven't you resisted it with the revelation that you have? Why has it paralyzed your spiritual effectiveness? Because, as I said to you, faith is not a mental exercise, it's not an emotional expression, it is spiritual execution. How often should I be executing things from my spirit? Why is it that we have, I got to speak in general for all of us, why have we allowed the natural realm to convince us when our prayers are working? Why is it that if you don't see nothing happening, you think nothing is happening, even though the Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are temporal. Temporary, subject to change, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Why is it that you're still looking at the seen realm for evidence when the Bible says your faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why is it that you've made other things your evidence? Why is it that you're still living that way? You're still praying that way. You're still thinking that way. You're still governing your life that way. And you think you're in faith. So here he says, imitate God. Now, imitate God means what? Act just like God. Amen?
Yeah.
Here's my question. In your situation, would God act like you've been acting? That's a C-Live moment. Would God act like you've been acting in your situation? If not, then listen. In that situation, you've chosen not to be in faith. Because you're not imitating God. Okay? In your situation, would God think like you've been thinking? Then in that situation, if not, You're not in faith because the Bible says casting down imaginations and every high thing that it tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, what you already know. So you mean you're not casting down thoughts? You're not in faith. Because you're not imitating God. Listen to it from the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic, Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Listen to this. Everyone look. Copy him and follow his example. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. When we were raising our kids, I used to always ask them, why are you all trying to prove dad wrong? I'm on your side. I'm covering you. Why is that? Do you know what that's called? A spirit of rebellion. So watch this. In your life, why are you trying to prove God wrong by doing it your way instead of his way? You know what that's called? A spirit of rebellion. Well, Pastor Mark, I'm not doing it that way. Then why you talk negative and God don't? Why you talk the problem and God don't? Why you talking weak? Why you talking broke and God doesn't? So who you copying? Who are you imitating? Because you're not an original. You have never had an original thought. So he says, copy me. Why are you holding on to feelings that you know Jesus himself don't feel? Why are you doing that? Who are you imitating? That's not faith. So let me give you a definition. Now, what's our subject? Let's make sure we're all on the same page. What's our subject? Living a lifestyle of faith. Let me give you a definition of the word lifestyle.
All right.
Here's the word, definition of lifestyle. Now, everyone, don't try to write it. Just listen to it first, and then I'll give it to you again, and you can write it. Listen to it. Say, I'm listening, Pastor Mark.
I'm listening, Pastor Mark.
Listen. Lifestyle is defined as the habits, the attitudes, the tastes, moral standards, economic level, etc., that together constitute the mode of living of an individual or group. It's defined as the habits I have, lifestyle. It's defined as the attitudes that I operate with, lifestyle. So let me give it to you. You can write it now. It's defined as the habits, attitudes, tastes, moral standards, economic level, etc., that together constitute the mode of living of an individual or group. Now, I just pulled this definition straight off of dictionary.com. Because I just wanted to get something as simple as possible. So, again, lifestyle. Everyone say lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Is defined as the habits, attitudes, tastes, moral standards, economic level, etc., that together constitute the mode of living of an individual or group. It's, in other words, it's a way of living which includes the values and ideas supported by that person. Your values and ideas, lifestyle. And what you have to understand, we have to live by faith, because this is how God himself operates. Living by faith is God's system. It's his way of getting things done. Faith is God's method for achieving victory in this world. And faith is God's intended lifestyle for believers. Put that down. Faith is God's intended lifestyle for believers. Faith is what? God's intended lifestyle for believers. So help me get this across. Look at your neighbor and say, God intends for you to walk by faith. Now, if that's his intention, that's his purpose. Again, faith is God's intended lifestyle for believers. That's his purpose. That's his intent. That's the method he set up for believers to operate in. Now, everyone look up here. Let me ask you this quick question with your lightning fast minds. Let's see this. Did you come up with how a believer should live?
No.
If you didn't come up with how a believer should live, then why are you trusting how you think you should live? God set up the lifestyle of the believer. And you and I, we have to comply to it instead of making up our own rules. And that's what we've been doing. So people will come to me, and, you know, they'll get mad. And I'll say, this is just how the Bible says it. You see, I choose to say how the Bible says it, regardless if I see the full manifestation of it in my life or not. Because the full manifestation of it in my life doesn't change what he said. And when I stand before him, he's going to ask me about what he said, not what I saw.
That's so good.
And so there's some of you in here. Look at me. You're crying about circumstances. You've never seen God cry like that. And you justify it. And you feel like you've been doing wrong. You've been done wrong. And you don't understand that that moment you've chosen not to walk by faith. Because it's happening to me. And it should be different. And I shouldn't be experiencing this with your prideful self. You can't do that. God didn't ask for darkness in the beginning. So when he saw it, he didn't agree with it. He spoke what he desired. Imitate God. Watch this. Everyone say, without faith, it's impossible, to please God. Look at that. Let's look at that scripture, Hebrews 11. So that tells us that if a person, Sister Carmen, is not choosing to walk by faith, then that person has chosen not to please God. You didn't get that. Mm-hmm. Y'all listen to me. Come on, man. Y'all got to hear me. When you give in to those feelings, when you give in to those thoughts, when you talk negative, when you think negative, when you act negative, you're saying, for this situation, I don't want to please God.
My Lord, help us.
You can't do that. You can't do that. We're believers. So, Hebrews 11 and 6, you have it?
Yes.
Look at this. I just want to give us this specialized, intense training to uproot this erroneous way of operating so that we can, what did the Bible, what that scripture we read earlier, 2 Corinthians 13, what it was, the verse 5 or verse 6, so that we will examine ourselves and see if we've been in faith, and we will prove it. Just examine yourself. Now, I'm like this. When God deals with me like this, with a situation like this, what I'm doing with you all, I don't sit there and justify how I've been operating. I stand before the Lord, like the Apostle Paul did, like Jeremiah did. Like I'll stand before him and say, Lord, I want you to correct me. Correct me. I receive your correction. Correct me. I'm not going to justify why I've been holding on to that thought. Correct me. I'm not going to justify how I've been acting. Correct me. I want to receive your correction. Listen, Vanessa, I'd rather have his correction rather than the devil's corruption. I would rather have, because the way God corrects is with his word. The way the devil corrupts is through circumstances. Wow. I would rather have his correction. Speak to me, Lord. And when he points it out to you, yeah, conviction comes. Yeah. And the proper response to any and all conviction is repent. And repent starts with changing your mind about what you've been doing. And there's some of you in here who said you're sorry to God, but you held on to that same mindset. Come on, somebody. See, there's nothing Pastor Cheryl can do that's going to cause me to want to go commit adultery. Right. You want to know why? Because my walk with God is not based on what Cheryl does or doesn't do. My walk with God is based on what Jesus has already done. So she's not going to cause me, oh, she's not doing this, oh, she's not doing that. That's between her and the Lord. You hearing me? But see, some of you, you have not gotten to that place of conviction. So like where I gave you the definition of lifestyle, your moral standards are compromising. You change them based on the situation. That's called having situational ethics.
My Lord.
And that's not the believer. Okay. Hebrews 11:6. It says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith requires diligent effort. Faith requires diligent effort. You're not going to stop because it seems like nothing isn't working. You got to let your diligence speak during that time. Faith requires diligent effort. I got to keep at this thing. I'm tired. Okay, then live defeated. I'm tired. Well, why is it happening to me? It could be worse. Then what you going to say? I'm tired. Now stop being tired and get some rest. Come on. Watch this. Watch this. Listen to this part. Faith believes what God and his word says, regardless of what your physical senses say. Faith believes. Say believe.
Believe.
Faith believes what God and his word says, regardless of what your physical senses say. Say believe.
Believe.
Faith believes what God and his word says, regardless of what your physical senses say. And that's, my brothers and sisters, is where the rubber meets the road. You're still convinced about what your physical senses say. And I understand it because we're conditioned by society. We're conditioned by the world. We're conditioned by social media. We're conditioned by the news. We're conditioned about all of that. And that's why to walk by faith, it requires faith conditioning. You got to listen to the word more than you listen to the world.
Yes.
So somebody pat themselves on the back and they say, well, I don't watch TV. Okay. Whoop-de-doo. You still in this world. So what do you do to combat the conditioning of the world? Have y'all ever walked into a room and before, prior, walking to that room, how you were, how you felt, you was totally different. walked in the room, something changed you like that, and you can't explain it? Let me see your hand. That means you were exposed to an environment that was conditioning you to the atmosphere. You did one or two things. Either you had enough spiritual strength to resist it and overcome it, or you left. Or one of three things, you compromised and stayed, and now it changed you. Okay? So, faith believes what God and His Word say. Now, let's ask ourselves, let's stop right here. I don't want us to rush, and I'm just about done. Ask yourself, do you really believe what God and His Word has said over your physical senses? Ask yourself. What do you mean, Pastor, about my physical senses? I'm going to be as simple as possible. What your eyes see, what your hands touch, what your ears hear, what your nose smell, what your tongue tastes. Physical senses, what you're conscious of from the natural realm. Do you really believe what God and His Word says about physical senses? If not, there's something lacking in your faith. Okay? Let me give you two powerful points. Never forget them. Point number one. Get ready to turn. Go ahead and turn to Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. Here's point number one. I'll give it to you once you get to Numbers 23:19. So you let me know when you get there. Okay, I only got one person. Numbers 23:19. I want to go quick. You're on my time. Okay? I got 4, 5, 6. Okay? All right. Here's the point. Point number one. Faith is complete and total confidence in and the reliance upon the integrity of God and His Word. Faith is complete. Say complete.
Complete.
Faith is complete and total confidence. Complete confidence and total confidence in and the reliance upon the integrity of God and His Word. One more time. Faith is complete and total confidence in and the reliance upon the integrity of God and His Word. Now ask yourself, do you have complete and total confidence in the Word of God that God has spoken to you? If not, why not? You know God loves you. You know He sent Jesus for you. You know Jesus died for you. You know Jesus got up for you. You know Jesus ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father just for you. Not only when He sat down, God the Father made you and I sit down with Him in heaven. You know that He's given you His name, which is above every other name, the name of Jesus. You know that He's given you His blood. You know that He's given you His inheritance. You know that He's given you charge over ministering angels who will respond to your beck and call. So if you do not have complete and total confidence in God and His Word, why not? You got to ask yourself and not lie to yourself. Why not? Why is it that you're still convinced about what is happening to you is more real than what He said about you? Get that religious spirit off of you. Get that religious spirit off of you. And see, the thing about it now, specifically my generation, because we saw how religious our parents were, now we're so dogmatic to say, I'm not as religious as my parents. No, you might not be as religious. You could be more religious. Because you went in a different manner. Faith is complete and total confidence in and the reliance upon the integrity of God and his word. Look at Numbers 23:19. Everyone should be there. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Look at that scripture, everyone. Let's have a Selah moment. Now, if you're sitting beside someone, you can slip, just kind of look over at their Bible, and if they don't have it underlined, they're not a veteran at Faith Word Fellowship. Because everybody at Faith Word knows this is Pastor Mark's scripture, Numbers 23:19. Now, listen to me. Look at it. God is not a man that he should lie. Everyone, look here. Why is it that you've been acting like God lied to you? And you go to plan B and plan C and you feel justified. You feel justified because it's your plan. Now I got to ask you a question. If you went to go help someone, you invest in your time, your resources, and all you know, and you're even willing to use any contacts, and you go to help them. Now, they came to you with the problem. Everyone say, they have a problem.
They have a problem.
Everyone say, I have the solution.
I have the solution.
Now, you go to them, and watch this. Instead of listening to you, they try to tell you. Something is wrong with that picture. You got the problem. I got the solution. But now you're going to tell me how it should be done. Wait a minute. You got the problem. God got the solution. And you're going to tell God how it should be done. Wait. You got the problem. God has a solution. And you're telling God how you feel and how it should be done. That's not faith. And just like in your own life, if the person did that, some of y'all would say, then you need to go on about your business. And look at how you do God. So all I'm simply saying is we have to make the adjustment. That a religious spirit, it causes you to become resistant to the counsel of God. You become stubborn about how you see things instead of embracing God's perspective on the matter. And you're so convinced that you'll get mad at somebody who'll tell you what the word said. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Y'all hear me? All of us have been there. You'll get mad because you don't want to be reminded of how you should be believing. You don't want to be reminded of what God has said, because you know conviction is there. You rather go on and do it your way. That's not faith. And that's what's happening to a lot of Christians. So they're saying this faith stuff don't work. Oh, it works. But you got to work it. And you can't work it your way. You know what God wants more than anything? You ready for this? A surrendered will. Lord, I surrender my will. And you know why a lot of us won't surrender our will? We're scared of being hurt. We're scared of loss. We're scared of a flawed reputation. We're scared of other people's opinion and judgment of us. We're scared of the fear of man. We're scared of looking bad. We're scared of people knowing about us, what's going on, and we don't want them to know what's going wrong. And when all you got to do is surrender your will to God. Look at this again. God is not a man that he should lie. Everyone say, God can't lie.
God can't lie.
Everyone say, God can't lie.
God can't lie.
Now, lift your hands right where you are and say, Father,
help me
to live my life
like I really believe
that you can't lie. That'll settle some things. The only reason why you still go to bed with the problem is because you don't believe this verse. The only reason why you've been carrying that problem with you all day long is because you don't believe this verse. You really don't believe that God is working on your situation. Because if you really believed it, you know what you would do? You would rest. You would rest first in your mind, rest second in your emotions, rest third in your actions, and you'll be waiting on his next instruction. I trust you, Father. It's going to be all right. But I'm tired of this, and I'm tired of that. I'm so glad God had never said, I'm tired of you too. Just think, what would he say? What would you do if he said that about you? I'm tired of you. The only reason why you complain is because you don't believe it's going to change. You didn't get that. You didn't get that. The only reason why you complain is because you don't believe it's going to be turned around. You don't believe that God is turning around. So you don't, instead of having a positive expectation, you have, glory to God, this fear of it's going to always be like it's always been. And faith and fear cannot dwell in the same vessel. Faith activates God like fear activates the devil. So then some of y'all, not y'all, I ain't gonna say y'all, I ain't gonna do that. Some of us as Christians, so then when something happens to us, we wonder, well, why did this happen to me? Instead of looking at what fear did I embrace that opened the door to this? That's what Job said in chapter 3, verse 15, I believe it's verse 15. He said, a thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. Fear moves the devil against you. You're holding on to your own way, and then you wonder why things are not working out. It's because the fear that's causing things to unravel and not go right has been released in your life because you're holding on to this spirit of fear. Everyone say, got to let the fear go.
Got to let the fear go.
Point number two. Faith is allowing God's word to be the final authority in your life. Faith is allowing God's word to be the final authority in your life. Faith is allowing God's word to be the final authority. Where? In your life. I'm not letting that bill be the final authority. I'm not going to even give it authority in my life. It doesn't have the last say so. I'm not going to allow insufficiency to be the final authority. Hello? I'm not going to allow that problem. I'm not going to allow that house problem, that car problem, that job problem, that physical problem, that family problem, that child problem, that marriage problem. I'm not going to allow none of that to be the final authority in my life. And you stop allowing it to be the final authority when you stop allowing it to have the final say-so at the end of your day. Amen. Final authority. So we're going to close with these two scriptures, three scriptures. Here they are. You ready? Mm-hmm. Psalms 119, let's start at verse 89. Psalms 119, quickly, come on, quickly. Mm-hmm. Did you get something today? What's that? Let me see. What's that scripture again I gave y'all earlier? 2 Corinthians 13:5. While you're turning to Psalms 119, I just want to speak this into your ear. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. That's all we're doing today. Well, why haven't God done this? Well, why haven't you believed? Here's another question. When does believing stop? So believing is eternal. So if believing never stops, then why did you stop believing? Well, Pastor Mark, when did I stop believing? When you said nothing was happening. When you question why won't God do something, that's the moment you stop believing that he was doing something. Are y'all getting this? When you accepted what was happening as your reality, that's the moment you stop believing God's reality. The moment that you started talking the problem, agreeing with the problem, getting mad because you got a problem, getting sad because you're still in the problem, and then crying because there is a problem, you stopped believing. At that moment, you stopped, you did. No devil showed up at your house. No devil picked you up against the wall and said, you better stop believing. You simply did it all because of what you saw. And the devil said, if you believe it, what's my one question word? Look. God moving for you? Look. If it's really working, look. And you got to come out of the look realm and bring the devil over to your faith realm. Where God has promised you, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and will he not do it? Hath he spoken, and will he not make it good? Even if you got to say that 1,000 times a day, you pull him over into your realm and stop going down to his realm, trying to convince yourself whether or not God is working, trying to look for evidence in the wrong realm. Look, you've prayed, but look. That's my time. So, I got to close this scripture. Psalms 119, you there?
Yep.
Verse 89. Forever. Everyone shout forever.
Forever.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now it's time to settle it at your house. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to settle it in your life. That word settlement is firmly established. It's a rock. It's concrete at my house. What God says is more real than anything else. Look at this. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Look at verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Everyone say, that includes me.
That includes me.
Thou hast established the earth and it abided. Everyone say, he's established my victory too.
He established my victory too.
Look at verse 91. They, what God has established, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. His word is forever settled. Look over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's at my house too, in my life. Make up in your mind today that you're going to settle some things. Leave here today settling some things. Everyone stop, look at me. And it takes this long to settle things. Just settle it. Just settle in your heart right now. So let's just take this, few seconds before I read this last scripture. Take this few seconds to settle it. That what you're going to settle is, Lord, I'm settling it. Your word is my reality regardless. Mm-hmm. Come on, you say it. Lord, I'm settling.
Your word is my reality.
Now settle it. Yep. Did you feel that? I'm talking about that circumstance that just came on your mind. That thing that just came on your mind. You got it. Yes. So I want you to see that thing that's been harassing you. See that thing that's been tormenting you. See that thing that's been causing you disturbance of your peace, disturbance of your joy. See that thing in your mind's eye and say, it's settled. Say it. It's settled.
It's settled.
It's settled. See that thing. I don't care if it's pain in your body. I don't care if it's a family member that's been acting crazy. See that thing settled. You settled it right now. Don't leave here without settling it. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Because we as believers don't live with this sense of urgency, we think we got time to do what we want to do when we want to do it. Until you get to the point of where you view God's instructions as if you was hanging off of a cliff, hanging onto a branch, and the person standing on the cliff who can help you is giving you an instruction and you're ready to do whatever they say. Until you respond like that, my brothers and sisters, you're not ready. Because there's some of us in here. We're easily distracted and wondering where the victory at. Because you don't know how to, watch this, pay attention. Pay, I got to do this. Attention, attend to my word. Pay, I got to make the investment of my attention. Okay, last scripture. I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 1, Verse 25. But the word of the Lord, read, endureth for how long? Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This enduring word. I need a couple of more translations. Real quick, I'm closing. Give me a couple of translations. Who got one? Quickly. Whatever you got. What we got?
The word of Amplified.
Here's the Amplified. Come on.
For the word of the Lord, divine instruction.
For the word of the Lord, divine instruction.
The gospel endures forever.
The gospel endures forever.
And the word is the good news.
The word is the good news.
Which
was preached to you. Everyone say the word is good news.
The word is good news.
Everyone say believe in God.
Believe in God.
Is believing good news.
Is believing good news.
Come on, say believe in God.
Believe in God.
Is believing good news.
Believe in good news.
And when I believe good news,
I remain positive.
Okay?
But the word of the Lord will live forever.
Okay, what's that from?
The New Century
Version says, but the word of the Lord, watch this, will live forever. Everyone look up here. It will live with you or without you, but it will live forever. I choose for it to live with me and for me to live with it. It's going to live. It's carrying the life of God with it. Amen?
Amen.
You receive that?
Yes.
So faith believes what God and his word says, regardless of what your physical senses say. When you operate in faith, you believe the word more than what you see, more than what you hear, more than how you feel, and more than what you have experienced. When you believe the word more, you're believing it more than what you see. You're believing it more than what you hear. You're believing it more than how you feel, and you're believing it more than what you have experienced. That's when you're in faith. So examine yourself today. We're going to build on this because I see this like a faith intensive course, if you will, that I want us to go on. Stand on your feet. I have to say this. I've been saying it a lot in Canada. I haven't said it as much here. I need to say it. It just came to me as I was closing my Bible. Stop attaching your identity to the outcome. Stop attaching your identity to the outcome. Your identity is in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And that's what some of you all are. I'm praying to God that you'll hear me today, that you'll go before the Lord, repent of certain things, specifically pride and selfishness, your dogged determination to see things your way, hold on to how you feel about it. I pray to God that you'll repent and examine yourselves and then make sure that you're maintaining a living connection of connecting your identity to Christ and not to the outcome of a thing.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God, and you will never be the same again.